Greetings in the name of Jesus to each one that has gathered here this morning. It's a blessing to be in your presence. And I appreciated the service and the devotional this morning and the Sunday school devotional and the Sunday school class. Appreciated the many thoughts that were shared. And I didn't realize, and this so often happens, I didn't realize how closely the Sunday school lesson connects with the message that I feel God has led me to share this morning. Maybe that's because I didn't spend enough time looking at the Sunday school lesson through the week. As the Sunday school class was introduced, and I knew what it was about, but I didn't get all the connections. When I looked down over the lesson, it was amazing how it connected with what the message is this morning. Bring greetings from the Leola congregation. You're welcome to come there. I've seen some of you there, I believe. I also appreciated Brother Virgil's devotions as well. And thinking this week, my own personal devotions, I came across some verses in Psalms, and I do enjoy the Psalms a lot. It's the ramblings, it's the thought processes of a man that was close to God. And that's my heart's desire, to be close to God, and I'm sure it's yours as well. I came across some verses in Psalm 25, and you can turn to there a while if you want, but I had to think about this thing called our memory. And that's something that's a little bit complicated. How does your mind work? How does your memory work? How is it possible that things happen in our lives and somehow it's filed away in there? It's just amazing. There was two men in 1968 called Atkinson and Shiffrin who came up with a theory on how the mind works and how memory works. There's three stages of memory. You have a sensory memory, which is the early stage of memory. This is a piece of information that's stored for only a very brief period of time, generally for no longer than half a second, for visual information. In other words, you could be driving along and something flashes, and it's about a half second, and your memory holds that, but then it's disregarded. Or about 3 or 4 seconds, a piece of auditory information, something we hear, can stay there for about 3 or 4 seconds, and then it's gone. So when I realized that, I thought, well, maybe that's understandable why I forget so much. But I'm sure I'm not alone in that. We wonder why we forget so much. But it's sensory memory. This is the lowest level, or the earliest stage, depending how you say it. But it's very brief. Only certain aspects of the sensory memory, we allow it to pass into the next stage, a short-term memory. And this is the active memory, or the things this is what you're using now as you're listening. There's things going into your mind, what I'm saying, and the things around us. Paying attention to sensory memories generates information in short-term memory. This information will probably stay for 20 or 30 seconds. But the parts of it that do stay transition into long-term memory. And this is continuation of storage of information. And this is a lot of times outside of our awareness. And in other words, long-term memory is things that are going on that are in your mind but you're not thinking about right now. There's a lot of that. But it's only a small part of what all goes on in our lives. Sometimes this is easy to recall. Other memories are a little more difficult. And of course, when we think about memory, We think about forgetfulness. I came across this little piece of information. The average American loses roughly $6,000 over their lifetime, according to a survey, in the form of objects like car keys, cell phones, and jewelry. So over the time of your life, you might lose $6,000 worth of stuff because you forgot. That's man's memory. The title of the message is God's memory. We know what it's time, what it's like to struggle with our memory. We forget things, and sometimes there's things that we remember that we wish we could forget, and that we don't forget. You know what that is too. But what is God's memory? It's something we don't think about a lot. We think about the eye of the Lord. We think about God's hand upon us. We think about some of the other attributes of God, like His, it was already mentioned this morning in the Sunday school lesson, the almighty, the all-powerfulness of God. We think about His omniscience and the fact that He knows everything. And He's everywhere present. But what is God's memory? And this thought came to me as I was reading Psalm 25. And I'm not going to read the whole psalm. But if you scan down over it, it sticks out very quickly to you, verses 6 and 7. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Here it mentions memory. The psalmist David is crying out to God, remember, O Lord, remember. Remember your tender mercies. And I don't know exactly what David was going through. That's what I like about Psalms, about how he was a real man. You can, if you read him and let your situation mesh in with David's here, it's amazing how so often I'm encouraged, and well, I'm always encouraged. That he's crying out to God, that God would remember his tender mercies that he showed in the past and his loving kindness. And then he says, Lord, forget some things. Forget the sins of my youth. So we want to spend some time talking about, I just have some simple points here relating to God and his memory. Point number one is God remembers his promises. And I have a lot of scripture references, and you don't need to turn to them all, but I'll turn to probably most of them. This is an attribute of God, and so as we study God, we study his word. And so I did some searches on memory, I came up with so many verses, we could never cover them all, but I do want to turn to quite a few this morning. Psalm 106, verse 45. And he remembered them for his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He remembered them. God remembers his promises this morning. This is so closely related to the Sunday school lesson. But this is so hard for us to remember. Why? Well, we live in a relative society. There's many changes. There's promises made and then broken. Sometimes it seems like promises are made to be broken. This is going to be done by such and such a time, and it's not. The spoken word and handshake is cheap. What a blessing it is this morning that God is so different than that. That God remembers his promises to us. What are some of his promises? Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What a precious promise this morning that God will supply your need, my need. We're in Psalm. Turn back to 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. What a precious promise that God is saying in that verse there, that I will guide you. Are we remembering his promises? This is part of living our Christian lives. This gives us a foundation. This gives us hope that God makes promises and he keeps them. Ephesians 2 verse 7. I like the book of Ephesians, but there's promises after promises in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 7. Oh my, I don't know where. Verse 6. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his glory and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There are so many promises that God has for his people. And it's, like I said, it is hard for us to remember them sometimes when we get into the daily routine of life and we face our struggles. But God is there. God will guide you with your eye, with his eye. God remembers his promises. Point number two, God forgets our transgressions. You can turn back to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is one of these psalms of repentance. And Psalm 51 verse 1 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. God forgets our transgressions. This is also an aspect of the memory of God, that he forgets. Why can God forget our sins? And the whole chapter here, the whole message could be about this point. Why can God forget our sins? God can forget our sins this morning. He forgets my sins. He forgets your sins if we come to him in complete repentance. And that thought is borne out in this chapter. Wash me thoroughly, verse 2. Cleanse me from my sin. He acknowledges his transgressions in verse 3. He recognizes that he needs the Lord. He recognizes in verse, he calls on God to create in me a clean heart. This chapter is precious to me because I need this reminder. He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. He forgets our transgressions. Does that make your heart overflow with thanksgiving this morning that they are forgotten, that God forgets them? It's hard for us to grasp this. He can forget our sins because the atonement has been made for them through the blood of Jesus. You know, we serve a holy God, and yet there's sins in our lives. There has to be expiation. There has to be some way of removing that, of removing those things, so we can be in a relationship with God and have a covenant relation with him, like we heard this morning. That's all because God, through the blood of Jesus, can remove, can atone for our sins, and they can be gone. God continues to forget until we produce more transgressions. God's forgetting this morning hinges on your choice, on my choice. You know, we have what's called a doctrine of unconditional eternal security, and this is built on the premise of God's forgetting in spite of our continued sin. In other words, we continue to sin, but God forgets. But no, that is not. That is false this morning. Complete, and it also is borne out like this, complete surrender and repentance isn't necessary because we are eternally secure. I guess that's basically just restating it. The temptation for us, I believe, this morning to believe that is strong, that we're faced with that, that God forgets, and we do not need to come to a point of complete surrender and repentance. God forgets it because of a prior commitment. We know that we need to be current with God and come daily in complete surrender and repentance. There's more verses that relate to this. You don't need to turn to these. Isaiah 43:25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Jeremiah 31:34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Point number three, I don't have my points numbered here, I might lose track of the numbering, but the next point anyway is God remembers our humanity. God remembers our humanity. Psalm 136:23, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. He knows this morning that we are dust. He knows we're humans. That's why he is so gracious and long-suffering. He knows our frailties. My mind went to the verse in Genesis 8:1, and God remembered Noah. We just had that in our Sunday school lesson several Sundays ago about God remembered Noah. That must have been a tremendous blessing to Noah. We were traveling yesterday through the mountains of West Virginia, and there's deep chasms there, and we wondered, how did those deep valleys get there in the middle of West Virginia? We thought it must be because of the flood, and what a tremendous upheaval the earth must have gone through, and what a tremendous restructuring of Noah's life, living in the ark as he did, and the earth being covered with water. There's aspects to that that just we cannot understand, but it's so much of a blessing to me. Genesis 8:1, and God remembered Noah, and I'm sure Noah felt that. Noah remembered God. God remembers us in our humanity. God knows us. He knows what we can take. He knows what you can take. Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God knows you. God knows your limit. We think we know our limits, and we think that we're up against them pretty often. But God knows. God's there. God did not forget us. God did not forget you. God filters out the temptations we can't take. 1 Corinthians 10:13. You know that verse. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. God filters out the temptations that he knows you cannot take. God knows you. Don't forget that. Next point, God remembers us even when we think he has forgotten us. There's quite a few verses that bear this out. God remembers us even when we think he has forgotten us. Isaiah 49:14-16. Well, first of all, I want to say this. It's not a strange experience for us to feel forgotten. I think maybe we struggle with this more than what we realize, or more than what we admit sometimes, that sometimes we feel like God has forgotten us. We feel forgotten in this world, in this life. We feel like our friends forget us sometimes. Maybe you had a birthday, a special thing, event happened in your life, and you're sure that this friend you're meeting this afternoon's got to mention something, but they never do. We feel forgotten. At times, we even feel forgotten by the Lord, and And this was Zion's experience in Isaiah 49. But Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Yea, they may forget. Yea, I will not I forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee." This is the Lord saying, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." God's saying to Zion that you feel like you're forgotten, but I have your name written right here in front of me. Right on the palm of my hand, God has your name written. Even though you think, and even though you're in a valley sometimes where you think that God has forgotten, God has your name written there. Why does God allow us to go through these times? And I have more verses from Psalms. Psalm 77, 6 through 10 says, "I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean, gone forever? Does his promise fail evermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" That's the psalmist again. Well, why does God allow us? I believe God wants us to reach out to him even when we don't feel him close. And our Sunday school lesson talked about faith. And to me, this is the essence of living by faith. Reaching out to God when we don't feel him close. What is that if it's not faith? Sometimes we think that we can only reach out to God when God manifests himself to us. But God is calling us this morning to reach out and grasp at him when we don't feel him there. That is living by faith. Verse 10 says, "And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." And that impressed me. The other verses prior to that, he's saying, "Hath God forgotten?" But then in verse 10, he says, "I will remember." And there the psalmist is reaching out to God and saying, "I will remember what you have done." Jesus himself experienced this on the cross in Matthew 27, 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God allows these times in our lives, in your life, to give you an experience to reach out to him. God will not forget the works of sinners and the sins of sinners. This is another aspect, the next point, that we need to remember, and this is a sobering part of the message, where we realize that God does not forget the sins of sinners. Amos 8, verse 7 says, "The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works." In other words, I will always remember the works of the... And in the context of Amos 8, 7, it was the wickedness of his people Israel. And God said, "I will not forget their works." And this again is something that we as Christians, as godly people, struggle with sometimes. Where is the justice of God? Evil things happening to godly people. Brother Virgil mentioned those that are incarcerated, those Christians who are behind bars this morning. Timo and Ken Miller, and I'm sure there's others. But where's God? Did God forget? And I'm sure the Anabaptists in history, there's Christians who found themselves in unbelievably dire circumstances, said, "Where is God? Did God forget?" But God did not forget. God did not forget. Justice, judgment is coming. We lay it in his hands. Jeremiah 17:1 says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of their altars, of your altars. And that's a sobering verse, and it gives us an indication of how God views sin. Now, when we come to him in repentance, that sin that is engraven with a pen of iron can be gone. But it tells us here, it helps us remember that judgment is coming, that God is just. God did not forget. The next point is God remembers even when wicked men say that God has forgotten. And this is fairly common in the Psalms. An example is Psalm 10, verse 11. Says, he hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten, he hideth his face, he will never see it. God remembers even when wicked men say that God has forgotten. Justice will be meted out. This is related to the last point. But this morning we have to understand that God, that man's forgetting means nothing to God. He knows and remembers all. Wicked men say God has forgotten. And in their hearts, sometimes they try to convince themselves that God has forgotten. Or they try to, as Jeremiah 2:22 says, for though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. And oh my, how each one of us, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but we've tried to get rid of our sins and iniquities in our own way. It doesn't change God's way. He does not forget. But we try to take care of it in our own way. Or we tend to think that time erases sin. It doesn't. Truth will be revealed. Sin will be dealt with. God has not forgotten. Just because evil men try to forget, God does not forget. God forgets, and the next point, God forgets or remembers based on our responses to his love and Holy Spirit calling. God forgets or remembers based on our responses to his love and Holy Spirit calling. It is our choice this morning that determine the course of God's memory. It is our choice. It is your choice. And this thought brings comfort to us. Or it brings fear to us. So many of our troubles we manufacture because we are forgetting God, even though we think God is forgetting us. And I probably stated that before, just restating it again. But we manufacture our troubles. We think God has forgotten. We go through circumstances and we think that God has forgotten us again. We have a failure in our Christian lives and we think that God has forgotten, but it's us. We are forgetting. So many of our troubles would disappear if we just would not forget God. Another aspect to forgetfulness. God's forgetfulness. What God forgets, we need to forget. And this is an important point this morning. And it's a key, I believe, in living a victorious Christian life. God says in Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. When we come to him in repentance and God forgets our sins, we need to leave them there. Christians are discouraged into lives of defeat when they refuse to believe and trust that God has forgotten past and repented of sins. And again, this is the crux or the central part of living by faith. Believing the promises of God. That sin is behind me, that I am cleansed and moving forward with God. If God forgets it, we need to forget it. It takes faith to believe that. Closing point. is this: at the end of our lives, we will be remembered for what we have done. And when I wrote that point, I thought about the song and the Christian hymnal, only remembered for what we have done. We may be forgotten on earth in a matter of time, but we will be remembered in eternity. You know, I don't know if time would tarry another 100 or 200 years, my name and your name might be forgotten. But yet, there will be, but yet our lives do have a testimony. But even further than this and in this life, there is an eternity there. And we will be remembered in eternity for what we have done here. May God be with you, bless you. May this message this morning encourage you to take further steps with God in faith, and may He give you strength to be victorious throughout the coming week.